Awesome. Well, welcome to 2025. If you were here last week, welcome again. I wasn't. I was away with my wife. We had a few days off, which was awesome. But we are here and we are very excited about 2025. And you might be thinking, what the heck is that? Why is there a weed next to Pastor Luke as he's preaching? This is not a weed. This is a vine. And the reason I've got a vine here is that I want you to visually remember what we're going to talk about this morning and not just audibly remember, because facts will tell us that 7% of you will walk out of here and remember most or some of what I say. 93% will walk out and a week from now be like, I don't remember what he said. But if you have something to focus on, then when you think about the next 30 minutes, you'll be like, oh, the vine, yes. So this is a vine. It's not an ivy. It's a grapevine. And we're going to talk about that this morning. His name's Gilbert Grape. I hope you had a good break. If you had a break, if you're about to have a break, I hope you have a good break. If you're not having a break, I hope you get a good break at some stage. Helen and I went down to the Hunter Valley. We've got family down in Newcastle. We're with some friends for a few days. To the beautiful Hunter Valley. It's the oldest wine region of Australia. There's restaurants and there's beautiful things to do. As we just sat in the nature and awed at the story and the history, and you know, we went to a place where there were vines that were planted in the 1800s. Did you know that Newcastle and the Hunter region is actually some of the oldest productive vines in the world, because most other wine regions in the world have had disease which have, you know, ruined crops and they've had to replant. And so we were looking at some vines that had been there for 150 years and the stories of the history of the men and women who came out from Europe to plant, and the turmoil of seasons that were, you know, in drought and fires. And it's incredible and it's amazing, because you realize that you can drive past a vine and think, oh, it's just a plant. And then you realize the history and what that vine has had to go through to be still standing 150 years later, still producing fruit. It's amazing. So I was down there with some friends. We were relaxing, watching the kangaroos. And I just like felt God whisper to me, look around you. And as I looked around, I realized that we were, you know, surrounded by vines. And it reminded me of a story in John that Jesus told to his disciples. And as I started reading it, I really felt like the Lord said, preach on that on Sunday. And it's interesting that we've been speaking about Jesus being the center and Jesus being the focus for 2025. And this morning I want to speak to you about a word. And it's not a word we use often, but the word is abide. And I'll explain what that means so that we can unpack it a little bit. But I just feel like if there's a prophetic word I want to share over you as a congregation, over you as a group of people, my prayer and belief for you that is this, that your 2025 will be the most fruitful and abundant year of your life. That you will be so different at the end of 25 than you were at the beginning of 25, and that you would so much more represent Jesus because of the fruit in your life that it astounds you. That is my prayer for you. It's my prayer for us and our family. But in order to do that, we have to do one thing, and that is abide, and we'll talk about that in a minute. John 15, why don't we go there straight away? John 15, let's open our Bibles, if you've got it, to John 15. And we're going to read from verse 1 to 8. Now, John is writing about the Last Supper. He doesn't, like some of the other writers of the Gospels, include the intricacies of the tradition of the bread and the wine. But he talks about the words of Jesus and the relationship he has with Jesus and the disciples. And Jesus has already washed their feet. He's already broken bread with them. And he has an opportunity in these next few verses to say some things to the disciples that will be some of the last things he says before he dies and is risen again and then ascends to heaven. It's almost as if he's saying, here are some very important final words I want to leave you with. Take note, because you're going to need to know this. I'm going to read from verse 1. I am the vine. This is about a five-month-old vine, by the way. Big hand for Ryan, doing a great job this morning. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser or vintner or gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. Reading from verse 5, continuing, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Some of the last words Jesus says to his disciples before he prays to his Father in heaven for them. And he says this, I am the true vine. Now this is really important because Jesus in saying that uses some images that would have been very powerful in his day. First of all, in ancient Jerusalem, in that part of the world, there were vineyards everywhere. On every hill, wherever they could plant them, they planted vineyards. Not because they were all alcoholics, but because, one, they could, and secondly, a lot of the water wasn't palatable. You would get very sick drinking water. So wine, in whatever form they made it, became almost a staple drink for them to ensure that they would stay healthy. But in saying that I am the vine, you are the branches, the disciples would have immediately known what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about an ivy vine, he was talking about a grapevine. A vine is also represented in the Old Testament in many places as Jerusalem, as Israel. So the nation of Israel would have understood that they were the vine, and there were some real powerful images around that. In fact, in the temple, in the big door just before the inner court, there was actually a golden vine that was carved and decorated there, representing the nation of Israel. The vine is also a symbol of the Messiah. So he wraps all these powerful images up and he says to them, I am the vine. Now this is important because he knows that he's about to leave and the disciples are starting to understand that he's about to leave. And he wants to leave with them a powerful instruction on how to live in his absence. It's an encouragement to them. Soon I will leave you, but all is not lost. Because even though I'm not going to be physically with you, I can still be united with you like a branch is united with the vine. But you must, in order to stay united with me, do this one thing. Abide in me. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. We're going to focus most of what we talk about this morning on these two verses. Remember at the beginning, I said, I just really believe and prophetically pray over every single person here that your 2025 can be your most abundant and fruitful year yet. But it's reliant on one thing. Will we choose to abide in him? Bearing much fruit is 100% related to our ability and desire to stay connected to the vine. So what does it mean to abide? You might be thinking, well, I'd love to abide more, but I have no idea what that even means because it's not actually a word we use a lot in 2025 Australia. You don't go around and say, what did you do on the weekend? Oh, I just abided with my wife for a while. It comes from the Greek word meno. And meno means to remain, to stay, to wait with, or to live in company with, or even to be held continually. And for the people of that day, this word wasn't just a physical proximity. It was a relational connection that was very, very deep. If you abided with someone, it was almost as if you were taking up residence in their house, and everything that they had was yours and everything you had was theirs, and it became like a shared life. That's how intimate it was. And Jesus is very intentional. He uses this picture of the vine and the branch to say to the disciples that just like a branch is completely and utterly dependent on the vine for its survival, that these disciples needed to be completely and utterly dependent on Jesus for their survival. It's as if you can say that a branch depends on the vine even more than a sheep depends on a shepherd, or a child depends on an adult. A sheep without a shepherd can exist. It might be a bit scared and dumb, and it'll probably just get stuck in a fence and eventually die and get eaten by a wolf, but it can survive. A child without a parent can survive for a short period of time. But unless a branch is connected to the vine, there is no life source going into that branch, and it will die. It won't bear fruit. It'll die, become a branch. It'll snap. And this is really powerful for us to understand, because he's saying to his disciples, I'm not something merely to add to your life. I am your source of life. We get very good at adding things to our life, especially when life isn't going great. The amount of ads I get on Facebook, and I'm not on Facebook for a while because it's crazy addictive, the amount of ads that talk about the next greatest app on life hacking, on stress management, on diet. We have apps, we have supplements. You know, we eat really bad food, and then we think if we buy a Swiss brand multivitamin, we're going to be fine. We have subscriptions, we have memberships, we have all this stuff that we add to our life, the relationships, outfits. We go to the shops and we get a new outfit because that's going to make us really cool. Get new shoes. And we are convinced by the culture around us that if we can add some things specifically to our life in specific seasons, then somehow whatever we're missing in that period of our life, what we add to it will somehow balance it and we'll be okay. And a lot of us think of Jesus like this. When everything's going great, we're like, we sort of have Jesus on the side. And then when life's a bit tough, or we lose our job, or there's some family issues, or relationship breaks down, we like go and get a bit of Jesus, and we sort of say, well, I'll just add a bit of Jesus to our life, like some spice on a good bit of steak. It doesn't work like that. Jesus is not interested in being a supplement to our life. He is only interested in being the source of our life. And that's what he was conveying to the disciples as he shared with them. Abiding in Jesus, abiding in the vine, means making him the source of your life. We need to be completely connected and totally dependent on him. Otherwise, we bear no fruit. And if we disconnect from him entirely, we end up like a branch, withered, only good for the fire. So a 2025 and a fruitful 2025 is absolutely possible, but only if we choose to abide in Jesus. So we're going to look at three truths from this text in regards to abiding. The three truths are this: abiding produces lasting fruit, abiding includes pruning, and abiding brings joy and purpose. Let's look at the first one. You like how I gave you the 3 points first, and then we're going to unpack them for those taking notes? I've been doing a bit of practice at home on how to better communicate. So what's the first one? Abiding. Oh, it's up there. It's a bit of a... Can you take it off? It's up. First one, abiding produces lasting fruit. Second one, abiding includes... Third one, abiding brings joy and purpose. Great. Point number one, abiding produces lasting fruit. You know that as followers of Jesus, we actually have a mandate to produce fruit. If we put our hand up and answer the call to being a follower of Jesus, we are absolutely meant to produce fruit. Let's read from John 15, just a few verses later. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Some translations say your fruit should abide. That whatever you ask for, the Father in my name, he may give you. If you say yes to Jesus, you are appointed to bear fruit, much fruit and fruit that remains. Amen. And you might be thinking, what sort of fruit are we talking about here? Well, if you are connected to the vine and you are a branch, the only fruit you can produce is the fruit that the vine is. If you're a branch connected to a grapevine, you cannot produce apples. You cannot produce bananas. You cannot produce pumpkins. You are connected to the vine, and whatever that vine is what you produce. If we read in Galatians, it says the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, the fruit of God, is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. If we abide in Jesus, we become more like him. And the way people know we become more like him is we start to act like Jesus. We start to demonstrate his qualities: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, kindness. So the fruit of the Spirit is one of the things that we should have more of and should be demonstrating more of the more we abide in Jesus. Secondly, as we read in James, producing spiritual fruit, we're also called to bear fruit in the form of good works. James 2:14 says this: what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and be well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. When we are connected to the vine, we produce fruit that looks like Jesus when he walked the earth, going around full of love, joy, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control, doing good for others, healing them, feeding them, clothing them. And you might be thinking, well, that's great, but I'm not, if I look at my life, and especially in seasons of drought and storm, I'm not there yet. It's okay. None of us are there yet, myself included. We are not there yet. If we take stock and think, okay, in my 2024, did the end of my 2024 look different to the beginning of my 2024? Was it obvious to the people around me, especially in tough seasons, that I was full of joy and peace and love and gentleness and kindness? Can I tell you that the fruits of the Spirit are desperately needed and wanted by a world that doesn't know Jesus? If you want people to fall in love with Jesus, demonstrate 100% of the time to everybody you meet all of the fruit of the Spirit, and I promise you they will absolutely fall in love with the Jesus in you. I promise you. If you quote them Bible verses, and if you tell them they need to do this and this and this, and if you, maybe not, but if you demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit and you are so Christ-like in how you relate to people, you are the grape that's been formed from the vine, that's really attractive. And people desperately are looking for it. But if you look at your life and you think, you know, I'm not quite there yet, it's probably because at some stage you've disconnected. At some stage, instead of running to Jesus, especially in trials and troubles, you've tried to sustain yourself with other things. And we all do it. We all look for the quick fix or the thing to add to our life. Or very few of us in really challenging seasons run to God and rely completely on him. And that basically means that we may be connected to him, but we're bearing no fruit. Do you know that in vineyards and in sort of wine, grape growing understanding, the greatest vintages of every wine in the world are always produced in the tougher seasons? And you might think, how does that work? Well, you've got to understand that let's pretend we're a vine. If we're a vine and our sole reason to exist is to multiply our species. So a vine grows grapes not because a vine knows it needs to produce wine, but a vine grows grapes because it knows that if it grows grapes, Birds are going to come along, eat the grapes and distribute the seed, and the species thrives and it stays, it multiplies. In tough seasons, the vine says, we're going to die here. I absolutely need to put all of my energy, all of my sugar into the only thing that matters, which is to produce the sweetest fruit possible so that birds are attracted to it and so that I can multiply. When seasons are flourishing, the vine says, well, I'm all good here. I've got as much water as I need. I've got as much sun as I need. And the energy of that plant, that vine, the sugar, goes into producing leaves and new shoots. And what happens is the grapes don't get a full concentration of sugar, and it's an average year. How many of us, when we flourish in seasons, go, I'm just going to sit here, and I'm not going to produce amazing fruit because I don't need to? God uses tough seasons to produce incredible fruit in our life. Because in tough seasons, when our fruit is sweet, when we are displaying all of the fruit of the Spirit, people look at us and they say, I want that. And guess what? His kingdom grows. People go, there's something about you. So can I just say, if you are in a tough season, or if you are entering a tough season, stay rooted, stay planted, stay abiding in Jesus, and watch the fruit that will be produced. Most of you know that at the peak of everything going amazing in our life, our business crashed in 2010 and we lost everything. Everything I'd ever worked for in 40 years was stripped from us. And it took me so long to be able to realize that God was pruning us and God was dealing with us, and the fruit that was going to be produced from that season was going to be the sweetest we've ever experienced in our life. But man, it was tough going through it. Yeah. Stay planted. But abiding in Jesus will produce lasting fruit, and the best fruit is sometimes reserved for the tougher seasons. Second thing, abiding includes pruning. John 15:2 says this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Can I just address the first part of this verse? Some of you might be reading in different translations, and it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he cuts away, or he cuts away branches that don't bear fruit. You know, the better translation to cut away is take away. And if you look at the root word of take away in the Hebrew, it's a word, or in the Greek actually, it's a word called aero. And aero actually means to lift up. If you are abiding in Jesus and you are not bearing fruit, I'm here to tell you that God is not going to cut you away. He's going to lift you up. Because vines need to be lifted up off the ground where there's pests and insect and mold. And in seasons where you are not bearing fruit, you need to know that just like the vintner that comes along and says, oh, these branches and these vines shouldn't be here, and he lifts them up and he gets wire and he ties them on trestles. How many vines have you seen, you know, of grapes that are just like pumpkin vines on the ground? None of them. They're all lifted up and supported because they need to be close to the sun. They need air and oxygen. That's how they thrive. So in seasons where you are not bearing fruit, and you might have gone through seasons like this, or you might be entering seasons like this, please know that God is not going to cut you off. If you are abiding in him and you are not bearing fruit, he will simply reach down and he will pick you up. There might be some stretching involved. There might be some painful periods as he ties you to the trellis. But he's doing it because he loves you and he wants you to bear more fruit. He lifts you up because he cares for you. And he knows that in bearing more fruit, your life will be full of joy and you will influence others. Second part of the verse, pruning. Have you ever felt like God is removing things from your life that you've been holding on to? I just mentioned the business. If we hadn't gone through that in 2010... I don't think our marriage would have survived, and I don't think I'd be up here doing what I'm doing. Just at the peak of us having what was, in the world's view, everything was pulled out from under us. And I don't know if you've ever seen a vineyard that has been pruned. The first time I saw it, I thought that all the plants were dead. I'm going to show you a picture of a vineyard a couple of weeks before harvest. Have you got that photo there for me? There it is. So we were in the Hunter Valley a week ago. They are 2 weeks away from harvesting all the grapes. Every vine is full of grapes and bunches of grapes and leaves. They will pull all the grapes off. The white grapes go at the end of January. The red grapes go at the end of February. And then about a month later, they cut the vines. They prune the vines back to almost nothing. Can I have a photo? That's what it looks like at the end of harvest. Now, you might not have ever seen that. They literally prune the vines back to almost nothing. And why do they do that? They do that because the only way to increase the harvest of the next year is to prune right back so that the plant says, oh my gosh. The vine says, I have to work really hard next year to reproduce what I did last year. Thus, all of the energy, all the sugar, all of the focus goes into to growing again, and we get another crop of amazing grapes and potentially wine. God is the master gardener. It says in this verse, I am the vine and God is the gardener. And if you're abiding in him, he's either lifting you up because you're not producing fruit, or he's pruning you back so you can produce more fruit. But either way, he does it because he loves you and he cares for you and he wants the best for you. It's God's way of shaping us so that we look more like Jesus all the time. And sometimes it feels like God's saying, no, you don't need that, you don't need that, I'll take that away. And you're like, what do you mean? You know, those are the things that are my comfort. I want to hold on to those. That's my identity. That's what I'm feeling security in. He says, let me show you what your life can be like on the other side of pruning. Trust me. So my question to you is, what needs pruning in your life? Or maybe you feel like you're not bearing fruit at all. Maybe you're like, you know, I don't actually feel like I'm representing Jesus very well. Let him lift you up. Trust him enough to prune you, knowing that he only wants the best for you and that in doing that, you'll bear even greater fruit. Last point. Team, you want to join me? Abiding brings joy and purpose. Verse 6 says this, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and it is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. You know, the enemy of our soul is constantly trying to separate us from abiding in God, to distract us, to make sure that whatever happens, we are not connected to Jesus. How many people do you know that don't know Jesus and their life looks like a branch that is starting to die? No fruit, starting to get withered. We need to stay connected because our purpose in life is to bear fruit, not for ourselves, but so those around us can see the fruit and realize that there is a master gardener at work. I want to share with you, just in closing, something incredible. It's in relation to the most famous verse in the Bible. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You know that as Westerners, we read that and we see eternal being a quantity of life. That at the end of our existence here, we will enter eternal life, which goes on forever. But in the Jewish context, eternal life has nothing to do with quantity and everything to do with quality. Eternal life starts the minute you say yes to Jesus, and it's all about a quality of life and a fruitfulness of life and an abundance of life that is found in him the minute you say yes to Jesus and continues on once we're no longer a part of this world. So when Jesus says, when God said, I sent to the world my only, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, what he's saying is the day you say yes to Jesus, your life can start flourishing. Your life can start being everlasting. And it's about living a life now that focuses on eternal things. And can I tell you that in a world that so is desperately looking for truth and meaning, a bunch of Christians being more and more like Jesus and having fruit that displays the quality of Jesus, loving people and having peace and understanding and joy and going around helping people and loving people. Can I tell you that will point people to Jesus way quicker than picking up a verse and saying, you should be doing this because the Bible says. A fruitful life impacts the people around us. And that's why abiding in Jesus gives us a sense of joy and purpose, because it's not just about us. Jesus says later in John 15, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Fullness of joy comes from being fully connected to Jesus, bearing fruit and staying connected even in seasons that are tough. I'm going to ask you all to stand with me. You might be thinking, well, that's all great, Luke, but how do I do that? Can I just simply say, make Jesus the center of your life. Whatever that looks like for you, read your Bible. Read your Bible. In verse 3, Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. There's power in the word of God. Spend time reading your Bible. Not just to get knowledge, but to spend time with Jesus. We abide with him and in him. And one of the ways we do that is we read our Bible. You can read your Bible and pray at the same time. And as you do that, you learn to trust the gardener, knowing that he's either lifting us up or he's pruning us. But either way, it's so we can bear fruit. In bearing fruit, we influence people around us. Our seed is picked up. And there are more and more Jesus followers on the earth as a result. And the last thing is, don't try and grow alone. When have you ever seen a vine with just one grape? There's always a bunch. They're there to, you know, there's a biological reason for that. And I'm wrapping up because I'm out of time. There's a biological reason for that. And it's because the bird might attack and the bird might take a few of them, but there's also a whole lot in here that will drop to the ground. And you producing fruit helps the vine produce fruit. Don't be a sultana. No one likes sultanas. Well, some do. All the over 40s like sultanas. No kids eat. You give a kid a box of sultanas in his lunch. What the heck is this? Used to be a grape, but now it's just a sultana. And don't be a sultana. The world does not need sultanas. The world needs grapes. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads. If you're here this morning and you, in listening to this message and in playing the imagery in your head, go, you know what? I don't think I'm connected to the vine. I know about vines, I know about Jesus, but I don't think that he is my life source. Then the beautiful thing about the kingdom of God and about this image is it's very easy to graft you on. To take what is potentially dead and to graft you onto a living vine so that a life source can flow. And all you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and say, Jesus, I'm not connected to you as my life source. I'm a dead, withering branch that has no fruit, and I want that to change. And in an instant, supernaturally, you are grafted onto the vine. You are adopted as a son or a daughter of the Most High God. You are adopted into his family, and life begins to flow. So if that's you this morning, I'm simply going to pray a prayer. And it's going to be a prayer that may be a little bit unusual. I'm actually going to pray a prayer that, in acknowledging that you need to be grafted, that before you leave here this morning, you feel life flowing into your body and your soul. But I'd love to know who I'm praying for. So if that's you this morning, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm simply going to ask you to give me a wave and say, you know what, pray for me. So if there's anyone here this morning, on the count of three, I just want you to be like, yes, that is me. I need the life that's found in Jesus. I need eternal life that can start today. One, two, three. Who am I praying for this morning? Fantastic. Anybody else? Fantastic. Excellent. Hands going up everywhere. Amazing. Amazing. Up the back. Just take a couple of minutes. This is so important. More hands. Beautiful. I'm going to pray a prayer and I'm going to ask everyone to repeat after me. And then if you prayed this prayer, someone may have seen your hand that's going to come up to you and give you a Bible or a card and explain how we can journey with you. Because a 5-week-old vine needs support. A 5-second-old vine or young vine needs support. So every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, today I accept you. I choose to abide in you. I realize I can't do it on my own, and without you, I have no life. And I ask that you graft me onto the vine. Thank you for forgiving my sin and giving me eternal life that begins today. Let me feel your life source. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't we congratulate those people? Amazing.